It's September 13th, 2012. This is the Hell Yeah Show. Hello and welcome to the Hell Yeah Show. I'm Alan.
I'm Emery.
And we are bringing you best practices for fine living, advice on how to not let technology ruin your day. Emery.
School is in session, so drive careful.
Hey,
it's been a while.
It's been a long while.
I'm still a new father.
Yes, it's been quite an experience.
I was telling my wife tonight, I was super excited for the show tonight, and I said, you know, it's like having a girlfriend that's been studying abroad for the last couple of months. I'm super excited to talk to you.
Yeah, you texted me that, and I was not creeped out at all.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, no, it's good. We've had a long hiatus. You being a new father, me being a new employee.
Yeah. And you moved and all that.
And I moved. I'm now living full time up in the Bay Area.
So it's no longer your summer home.
It is no longer my winter, fall, and spring home.
Right.
Yeah. So. Anyway, so lots of stuff going on, which has meant no Hell Yeah Show for quite a while.
Well, we've just been kind of slacking, too, and I mean, which, you know, we are wont to do. But
yes.
There's been a lot going on, and then plus I felt like crap for a long time. I had, like, something wrong with my back, and I was, like, all cracked out on painkillers and starting physical therapy.
And you really don't want to do podcasts cracked out on painkillers.
Well.
Well, actually, maybe you do. I don't know.
I'm doing fine right now, aren't I? No.
Okay. Yeah, there we go.
No, it's been yeah. Well, I'm definitely feeling a lot better.
Let's skip to your second item here because we should talk about the first, but I want to hear about how back pain sucks, but pills are awesome.
Yeah. So there was one morning, I want to say it was like a month and a half or 2 months ago. I woke up and I actually could not get out of bed.
Wow.
Like I was in so much pain that every time I like moved or like rolled or anything, it was brutal.
Wow.
And I was not at all happy about that. And my lovely wife helped me out of bed, which was not at all humiliating. And then I used like a cane for a day and a half. Saw doctors,
which can
chiropractors.
Be stylish. That can be an upside.
Yeah. Well, people often tell me that I'm kind of a cross between Larry David and Dr. House. So I really had the Dr. House thing nailed.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I went and saw a couple of doctors, one or two chiropractors, and the whole thing. And basically, the long and the short of it was that the best course of treatment was to start physical therapy, to start doing some different exercises. Like a lot of things, because it's my lower back, and a lot of things with the lower back are actually usually related to like abdominal muscles and other shenanigans. So
yeah.
So the painkillers were mainly just so I could like move.
Right.
And they had me on something called like Flexoril or something that really did not do anything at all. That was really stupid.
Oh, okay.
But then like the pain medication was great, and it actually let me kind of walk around on my own and actually do the physical therapy. So that's good.
Yeah. I guess this might lead into being elderly, which is another thing you've written down.
Yeah, it's really made me very aware of my failing body. It's really too bad, Alan, because I know how much you love this body. But yeah, it's been a little bit of a wake up call, I still haven't figured out what my long term stuff is going to be. I need to start doing stuff again, but it's like I've just been so busy and I'm so tired, and it's like you get into like the survival mode with a baby,
right?
Who I love, by the way. She just turned her 4 months today. Did her first rollover last Saturday, which was awesome. She's definitely coming along pretty good. Once she starts like moving around a little bit, she will cease to be the cute, adorable, legless puppy that she currently is. Because when she's able to like kind of move around a little bit. But she loves to sit up right now. She can't do it by herself. She can hold her head up by herself, though, which is pretty great.
She gets really happy about sitting up or something.
Oh, yeah. She gets like a big grin on her face, and she gets all excited. And yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Anyway. Yeah. Cool. So other than that, what's been going on?
Just like I said, it's largely been survival mode and just trying to be a little bit better and more efficient about things, especially around the house. So
yeah.
Ordinarily, we would very easily fall into the ordering and picking up food thing, and having prayer around has been some good motivation to, like, you know, spend more time on actually, like, preparing meals and having a real plan for the week.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. It's making me into an adult. I am 35 years old, and I'm finally becoming an adult. I recommend holding off as long as you can.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Don't let the man get you down.
No, no.
But yeah, it's been a pretty good summer. I've taken a lot of pictures, of course.
The food.
I've had some good family stuff. Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, let's see. Tell me about Menu Bar for macOS 10.
Well, do you want to jump right into...
Well, I guess I could talk... Let me talk a little bit about what's...
Let's do, like, our life updates first.
Okay, here's the... Yeah, so, like, if you don't care about us and you just care about, like, you know, technology and doing things right, then you can just skip.
Yeah.
But if you care about us, so I'm now working for the man, but it's a very... it's an awesome man. in that I'm working for Google.
It's not James Bond, but
at this point, no, it's yeah. It's been good. It's been an interesting shift in lifestyle, certainly. In that, I've now got about 35 minute commute, which waking up every morning and hauling myself up to San Bruno, because I'm actually working for YouTube, and then coming back at night and having just significantly less sort of, you know, free / get personal things done time.
Don't you get to, like, shuttle, or do you have to drive?
So, I mean, I could shuttle, but it would be... I'd have to go into Mountain View and then shuttle up to San Bruno, so...
Yeah, I'm fuzzy on my geography out there. I don't know where the hell San Bruno is.
For the most part. So San Bruno is north of where I'm living. So it takes about 35 or 40 minutes to get in the morning. And then depending on when I leave and how bad traffic is, it takes about the same getting back. Although it can be much longer if the 101 is not behaving. So anyway, so it's been, it's been generally good because I spent about a month and a half kind of just hanging out and not doing anything in particular, which was fun and
awesome.
But at the end of that, it was definitely time to... It felt like it was time to actually do something. So that has flipped pretty much... that model's flipped pretty much entirely on its head, the point where now it's like... Yeah, whoa. Doing a lot of things and not having time to do the other things. So, stuff like, I had the Overworld map site that I was very excited about last Hell Yeah show. You can go back and listen to my excitement. Is now in about the same state it was.
Yeah, it happens.
At that point, yeah. So, that stuff happens. But, in general, it's been quite fun. So, and as I was saying to you before the show, there is a slide in my office.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous.
Which is, it's great. It's just, you're on the second floor and you need to get to the first floor and now you're on the first floor.
The only thing that would be better than a slide is if you had, like, a fireman's pole.
I think there is a building that has one of those.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, or a Google building that has one of those, but no, we've just got the slide, and it works.
Well, I meant a Google building. I wasn't implying that, like, maybe a firehouse might have one.
I'm sure there's at least one building in the world that has a fireman.
Haven't you seen Ghostbusters?
Yeah. Yep. Batman. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway. That's what's been going on with me as far as my life goes, but then I've also got tons of stuff to talk about. There's probably enough for the next several shows to talk about just random stuff that I have encountered that potentially I've either learned lessons from or just in general want to talk or rant about. So everything from IKEA, which we will address in this episode, to buying a car, which we will probably address at some point in the future. Lots of
before you get too wound up about IKEA, though, you should know that the Swedes are my people.
Oh yeah. I will. We'll tackle IKEA later, I think.
Okay.
let's go back to your stuff.
Oh, and, yeah. So I've been like super pumped about a couple of like pieces of software for the Mac and for the iPhone lately. There's one called, okay. So you know how on OS X there can end up being like a metric ass load of icons in the menu bar?
Mm-hmm.
There's a application called Menu Bar that lets you kind of like abscond with those and put them into like a hidden menu bar.
Oh, wow.
I love it. Like, it's so, it's ridiculous that I get like so worked up about this because I know it's kind of silly, but you can specify if they go into the secret menu bar or into the regular menu bar, and then you can also make it so that if the icon changes, like for example, if my arc backup kicks off and the little arc comes up, I can make the arc show up in the real menu bar, and then when the backup is done, it goes away.
Wow.
Yes. So the menu bar can actually become like a notification area, which is kind of slick.
Huh. Very cool.
I really like it a lot because I routinely end up with like a long row of icons, and I find it very distracting. And this kind of like whisks them away in a really sane way. And I'm pretty pumped about that. The other one I've been looking at lately is Day One. And it's like a journaling application. And it's for iOS and OS X. And it's really pretty. So it kind of begs to be written in, which is nice. And it lets you do things like you can save photos. And it does a good job of like remembering the weather and things like that. So if you've been... if you ever like the idea of keeping a journal and just don't want to have to like maintain it very well, this definitely assists in that and makes it pretty straightforward.
And like a new camera, this seems like something that would pair well with having a new board.
Yeah, a little bit. To be honest, though, the app that I use the most for Peru is Everyday.
Okay.
Because you can do time lapses. Every day will prompt you at a certain time every day to take a picture of yourself.
Oh.
But okay. What I do is I've been taking them of her. And I haven't been doing it like every day, but I do it very often. And so I have like these really great long time lapses of like the last 2 months of her life.
That's
and
awesome.
They're all lined up like her eyes. You know, they give you like a guide when you're taking a picture. So you can kind of like see where the last one was and then you can line up the shot a little bit. So it's pretty cool. I should put those up sometime. But
yeah, that is awesome.
It's been a lot of fun, but Day One's great. I really like it a lot. The software's good, wants to be written in. There's a guy named Brett Terpstra that has a project up on GitHub also that will archive your social stuff in Day One. So in addition to the private stuff that you journal, it will also go out and like fetch your Facebook stuff and your Google Plus stuff and your Tumblr stuff, like whatever you have out there publicly, and then also journal that. So you can kind of have like a very broad life stream private timeline thing.
Huh.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's nice. That's not really, I've never felt a compulsion to document my own life in that sort of way, but
well, Nokia kind of like tinkered around with this a while back. Like they had this idea of like the life stream and they've, you know, you could the messages that you send and receive and like the photos and videos on your S60 smartphones.
Yeah.
They kind of like built these little like timeline books, if you will. Those were actually really cool to look through. I thought those were really neat.
Yeah.
But there's also like using if this then that, you can do some really cool stuff with Google Docs too.
Hmm.
So like you could have it like grab feeds or messages you post on Twitter or whatever, and then it will add those to a docs file.
Oh, no way. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Huh. So there's some pretty cool stuff you can do with that. Like, for example, my wife's like a compulsive hoarder of like her Facebook stuff. So like anytime she's done like a Facebook status update, she has that in like a Pages document. And I was
wow.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, you can make like a little robot do that for you. It'll just go out and every time you post one, it just does it automatically.
Huh.
So yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff there.
Cool. And let's see what else.
My ScanSnap.
No. Well, you mentioned this before the show. I do want to know about the ScanSnap, but
well, that's not what I should say. It's still working.
The fact that you were thinking about a new bag.
Yeah. That Mission Workshop archive bag. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
But the more I've been thinking about it, and especially when it's like really hot out. I already have like that big, I've got the Rambler backpack, which is great and holds like a ton of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking that maybe like that they make one of those VX messenger bags with the archive enclosures, and it would be a little bit bigger than my Chrome, which is really my only complaint about it, is that it's just too small. Mm-hmm. It's a good size, but like there's times where I just wish I could hold a little bit more with it. Mm-hmm. And this would do that, and it had a little bit better pockets and stuff. So that's clearly, I don't actually like need this, but it's just something that I really want.
Yep. No, that's good. I'm, you know, bags are the sort of thing where it's like, there's enough variety in them that you can always kind of look at another one and think, yeah, that's not something I want. Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm the worst.
Yep.
All right. I have that rickshaw. I've actually been using the rickshaw quite a bit lately.
Nice. Yeah.
It's a good bag.
Good. Good. Okay. And then tell me about the dual, a dynamic duo of the Fuji X10 and the ScanSnap.
Well, I mean, the X10's been holding up really well. I've taken hundreds and hundreds, maybe even over 1,000 photos with it by now. It's working great. I have no complaints about it. It's held up well. I think it's a great camera. Fuji just recently released a new one in the same series that is similar to the X10, but offers interchangeable lenses. It's kind of like an in-between from like the X Pro 1 and mine. So it's definitely a pretty slick piece of equipment, though. I like that they maintain a nice rangefinder camera aesthetic on these. The difference would be that the viewfinder on the new one, which I really wish I knew the name of now, does not have like an optical viewfinder. It's just EVF, but it has the same OLED optics that the X1 Pro has.
Huh.
So on the one hand, it has the benefit of that really nice electronic viewfinder, but it does not have like an actual optical straight through like that.
Right, right, yeah.
Which is what I really like about mine. So it's kind of, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other, I guess. But I'm not in the market for a new camera anytime soon. But the X10's been really doing well for me.
Cool. Yeah. And then if you said that, but the ScanSnap is
oh, I'm still feeding all kinds of crap to that thing. Yeah. I can't even tell you.
Yeah.
Couldn't be happier.
You can never sate the ScanSnap.
I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm petting it right now. You should see me.
I'm like, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Heavily. So how are you?
All
talking
right,
about IKEA.
So, yeah. Okay. So here's my list of things. All right, IKEA. Here's the deal with IKEA.
What's the deal with IKEA?
So first of all, over the past month and a half, I've spent too much money at IKEA, which is still not a lot of money, right? Because it is IKEA. But
yeah.
It's still, like for IKEA, you know, I've made a lot of trips to IKEA. And
easy to do if you got one nearby.
Yeah, it's so nearby. It's one freeway exit away.
Oh,
it's really nearby.
That's rough.
Yeah, I know. It's like a 10-minute drive. Here's the rule. I've come up with this rule for IKEA shopping,
uh-huh.
which is if it is rectangular, has flat edges, and is made of quote unquote pine, great. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to work out well. It's going to do exactly what you want it to do, and it's going to be cheap. However, if there are other materials or more complicated things involved,
yeah,
exercise caution.
Pine's not really like a great wood, but it's definitely better than like the MBF. Like
it's the MBF,
like the particle board stuff.
Oh, that stuff. Yeah, I mean, so I guess when I say pine, I say pine or potentially particle board stuff, right? Like in general, what I'm saying is,
do they make?
Oh, they make also. I mean, they make couches, they make beds.
I know. I've had all those.
Yeah.
It's like right. That college dorm room chic look that like I still have in parts of the house. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so. But what I'm saying is, the rectangular straight edge furniture at IKEA is great. Like it's purpose built. It works really well. It, you know, it looks good, and it, you know, and it is extremely cheap. But as
there's that
as
one line in particular, they have like a line of like shelving that's like plain pine that's really cool looking, and it's like I'm trying to find the name.
I now own 3 Lacs tables because they're like $10 a piece.
Yeah.
So I just keep like accumulating them because it's like, yeah, we could use a Lac there. We could use a Lac there. But that stuff's great. The stuff that is iffier and you have to be a lot more careful with is like the upholstered stuff. And
Ivar is what I'm thinking of.
Ivar.
Huh. The Ivar stuff is like all here. Let me let's do exactly that. That's like the just plain wood stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So that like that stuff's gonna be solid, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and even like getting into the, I mean, IKEA goes so far as to offer like kitchen implements.
And, oh, dude, they got everything.
Yeah, I know, right? And when you get into that,
I'm thinking about getting a bed from them.
Their beds are, I think, solid. It's just like, again, that is in the territory of not their core competency, right? Their core competency is the rectangular, cheap.
If you stick durable, to like the European style slat based platform bed, though, like they can't. I mean, they're fine if they're going to screw that up.
Yep, yep. No, that. Well, the mattress is a little more questionable.
Because the Malm bed.
Oh, I've looked into some Malm beds. Let me tell you.
Are they good?
Yeah, fine. Right.
Okay, like, that doesn't sound like a good endorsement. Remember, I'm an old man with a bad back.
So I don't own one. I'm currently sleeping on a mattress on the floor.
When my back was active, this is what we've had to do. We had to actually move the bed onto the floor.
Yeah.
And we're buying a new bed soon.
Yeah.
Well, at least a new mattress, and I got to figure out what I'm going to do for bed.
Anyway, so I guess that is the lesson I've taken away from my.
Wait, you got a mattress on the floor? You can't bring a lady over.
you'd be surprised.
Okay.
It's a memory foam mattress. It's actually a great mattress. It's just there's nothing. It's just on the floor.
We'll have to have a conversation offline about that.
I will say, as far as like going outside the core competencies,
yeah.
They make this rug. That is.
Is it called a Rug? Is there an umlaut?
No, it's called like Hofferschlaffen or something. Yeah.
Fluffenkirschen.
Yeah, yeah. They make this rug that is a multicolor patchwork rug, not like large patches, like foot by square foot large patches, and the rug is enormous. Takes up the whole living room here, and it is fantastic. It's an amazing rug.
Do you have like wood floors?
No, it's on carpet, which is good because the carpet's super ugly, so it's covering that up. But I think on wood floors it would look more awesome.
Oh yeah.
It's great. It's the colors of the rug are actually a roommate noticed this. The colors of the rug correspond very closely to the colors of Magic the Gathering cards.
Gotta get you out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Playing that game on the iPad, by the way.
You can play it on the iPad?
Oh, yeah. There's actually a really great Magic the Gathering 2013 something or other.
So it's the same one as on Xbox and Steam and stuff?
Yes.
Oh, man. I may have to get that. Huh.
It's actually outstanding. Yes. And I have not actually played Magic the Gathering since I was, like, 17.
Yeah.
But I find myself loving it on the iPad.
But that, that surprisingly, for a company that... is so paper products based, right? Like they're doing a good job with those games.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Anyway, so IKEA, but IKEA is awesome, right? Like at the end of the day, IKEA's great.
I've never gone to one and like not had it be an absolute zoo.
The one here is not too bad, but I mean, the majority of my IKEA shopping happened when I was in that phase of having no employment and having, just like sitting around, right? So I could go any time of day. So I'd go, weird times and there'd be no one there. So,
surprised you can remember from all the drinking.
the drinking and furniture buying, yeah.
That's, yeah.
And those two go hand in hand. Let me
this bed is too hard.
Yeah.
Where's the meatball? Have you eaten at IKEA? That's a sign you've been there too much.
So I've not eaten in IKEA.
Ah, okay.
However, actually, no, I have. I've eaten I've had frozen yogurt in IKEA.
That counts.
Yeah, it does count. We did buy... I went there with my roommate, and we bought their giant thing of frozen meatballs, their giant thing of frozen mashed potatoes, and their thing of lingonberry sauce. And you just combine all those together, and you got a meal.
It's like a lingonberry meatball slurry.
Yep, exactly. So anyway, that stuff is good as well.
I'm looking at the IKEA website and I just realized my in-laws were visiting this week and they left today and I did not have my father-in-law put up some shelves. And now my wife's going to be mad at me.
Oh no. Okay.
Like again.
I'm glad we've informed the listeners.
Yeah, well, come on. They'll like hearing about that. They probably can't imagine anyone can tolerate my presence for more than half an hour. So they're amazed that I've got a family.
Okay, so that's IKEA. Now let me tell you about some other things I've done.
Yeah, I think you should.
Yeah. I am now an Android user.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Droid.
Yeah.
You gotta have that sound play every time you say Android.
Because it's not a Droid branded phone. It's a Galaxy Nexus. It is a corporate phone.
So the Galaxy Nexus, that does not sound like an entertainer.
Yes. Unlike the what was
Divine?
The Divine, yeah.
Or the Runway.
Yep.
The Glitter.
It's a solid phone.
The HTC Glitter.
It's a solid phone. Let me tell you the killer feature.
It's just the knock?
No. This is different. Okay. This is different. So every morning at 5 a.m., the phone in the background downloads any new episodes of the podcast that I'm subscribed to. And then every day I get in the car, this happened with my iPhone as well, but my car has Bluetooth, so the phone starts playing and I hear the podcast. So I basically have this never-ending stream of podcasts that is always on my phone, always up to date, and always plays automatically when I get into my car.
So you got like Nina Totenberg 24/7 up in there.
I have no idea who that is.
She's on NPR.
Is she really?
Yeah.
What show?
Like a million shows.
A million shows? No, my NPR go-tos are Kai Rizdahl. Kai Rizdahl and of course, Robert Siegel.
Hmm.
Those are
she does a lot of All Things Considered, Morning Edition, Weekend Edition.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so I've got you know.
Are you old enough to vote yet? Maybe that's why you don't know her.
yeah, we'll see. They're gonna.
Yeah, they got voter ID out there.
Yeah, we'll see.
A challenge
in November. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so that has been fantastic, and I know it's this very minor feature. Like you're never gonna see this on the. Whatever an advertisement for it's like, hey, Android now it does, you know, and it's not built in. There's an app that's doing it, but it's just having that constant stream of podcasts is, especially with a long commute now, has been awesome. So,
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I don't have any problem playing podcasts on the iPhone, but I can see how you'd be confused by that.
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah. Android user that I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fanboy.
Yep. I mean, you know, the other thing is it integrates really well with Google Apps, obviously. So
sure.
I understand all the corporate stuff works great, but yep.
Makes
anyway,
sense to me.
So that is the switch I've made. In other news,
I mean, do you like it? Like overall, how do
overall,
you like?
Yeah, I mean, it does all of the things I need to do. And of course, this phone, because it is newer hardware, is faster than my iPhone. Because I had an iPhone 4. Which
Same
is
here.
2-year-old hardware at this point, and you know, I would totally notice the, you know, the lag between starting up the phone and being able to, or, you know, between turning the screen on and being able to do a web search or being able to text somebody or whatever. You know, like it's not a lot of lag, but you know, especially compared to like a non-SSD laptop or desktop, but still, you know, like the difference is definitely noticeable between that and this. And, you know, and that's just, you know, a lot of that is just new hardware. Like, it's not necessarily an OS thing. It's just having new hardware is always a good thing as far as, you know, lag is concerned. So
now, on the Google side, I mean, do you find that just about everything you do is, like, online?
Yeah, so, I mean, I, like, having all of my Google App stuff on the phone is just incredibly valuable, both for work and personal stuff. Because like I'm at this point where both like on the job and off the job, pretty much everything I am working on can go into, you know, either Google Docs or like a folder in Google Drive, or if needed, you know, a folder in Dropbox. And I don't really have to worry about it. Like, that stuff is just accessible from everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fully living in the cloud, I guess, if you if you want to put it that way.
Well, that's what I was getting at. I just didn't know, because, I mean, I guess, you know, people often say, like, there's a they talk about the ecosystem. And I'm like, well, like, there's so many of the applications that are, like, iOS exclusive that I find completely indispensable. Like, if I didn't have OmniFocus, I don't know. I mean, yes, there are task and there's project management stuff for other platforms, but to be completely, like, I've seen them and I've used them, and I, you know, and I don't think I'm being, like, really obtuse about it or anything. I just really, I can't see myself giving up a lot of the stuff that I've got.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I don't, in general, like, as far as indispensable apps on my iPhone, I would say most, if not all of them, are replaced by standard functionality on Android. So, like, the GPS app on my iPhone that I paid a lot of money for and that I, you know, was really indispensable for the life of that phone, is beaten by the GPS app that's built into my Android phone, which has, by the way, the most incredible text-to-speech GPS voice I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, like,
is it Nick Nolte? Because that would be a great one.
I mean, I don't. It's not a. It is, it's well, I don't know who Nick Nolte is, but
oh, come on.
I know. I'm missing all your references today. It's pretty terrible. I've maybe heard his name, Nick. I'm typing it into Google now. Anyway, that's the other thing. Google Now. Google Now is useful for traffic. That is the main use I've found so far, and that is seems to be the main use of the of Google Now in general, like as far as promotion and stuff. I've been liking that a lot for giving me a little heads up when there's going to be traffic on my drive home. So, so we did
bang 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 bang.
So we didn't explain this, but we are doing this show as a hangout on air, in just continuing the trend of me integrating myself with the Google Apps ecosystem. so
I'm fine with it so far. It seems to be working out okay.
It seems to be working out well. It seems working well. And I just noticed that we have one viewer, and that viewer may in fact be our friend Eric. So
our friend Eric, who's that?
Our friend Eric of the Rice Variety.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Yep. Anyway, moving on.
But you do like it? I mean, it sounds like everything works out okay. I mean, I haven't had like a lot of experience with it. There's a guy in my office that I work with that is very pro Android. There's a bunch of people on campus that are the same, but I will say that like it is a minority platform. Like I think the numbers that I have, I mean, keep in mind it's a Big Ten institution. So we've got a lot of people. There's like 30,000 users on campus, and I want to say like 15,000 iOS devices.
Hmm.
20,000 give or take OS 10, 35,000 to 36,000 Windows systems, 6 Blackberries. Yeah, I laughed when I saw that.
That's pretty great. Do you have any dedicated support for the Blackberries?
Oh no.
Okay.
No, I think they're kind of like a legacy. Like some of the people in the athletics department had them at one time, and I think those are probably the only people that are still using them. But Android is a much smaller platform, and it's just the nature of the beast, right? But I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So my personal experience has been that it has done all the things I wanted to do. So
that's good.
Yeah. So that's been good. Anyway. Okay. A few things here.
I don't even know what's next.
Let me jump to Sonic.net here.
Yeah, it's really sad to hear you didn't stick with it, but I can understand.
Yeah, so we've talked about Sonic.net on the show before. They're this really awesome ISP
They're very, very heavily customer-centric, yep. pro-privacy. Yep. They've actually gone to bat and, like, tried to defend against subpoenas and wiretap stuff on behalf of customers.
They're pretty much the exact opposite of Comcast. so
the antithesis?
Yeah, yeah. So they're really great. There's ISP that is I think primarily or maybe entirely in the Bay Area. Although actually they mentioned something in Sebastopol, so I guess maybe not entirely in the Bay Area. Huh. But they definitely start in the Bay Area. And now that I'm living here, I of course first thing I did was sign up for Sonic.net Internet because I've heard so many good things about them. I was super excited to A, get their internet service, and B, start paying them money because yeah. I wanted to support them.
Sure.
So I started subscribing to Sonic.net in June and just canceled my subscription earlier today, unfortunately. And they were amazing. They were incredible. They're the best ISP I can imagine. The problem is their internet was not fast enough.
Well, they were like they're a DSL provider, right? Yep.
And I mean, they're basically beholden to the AT&T DSL network.
Yep.
Yeah, which is you know in the suburbs, not amazing.
Well, it's not amazing anywhere. Like that's like a network in the United States. That's a technology that isn't getting a lot of attention.
I mean, I think the closer you get to a distribution center, I guess the better it gets. But yeah, in general, like it just clearly did not have the speed.
I'm like, for what it's worth, I'm like half a mile from the nearest DSLAM, and the best DSL that I could get was that, what was it? I don't even remember. It's like 14 megabit or some nonsense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm now on Comcast, which is, you know, yeah, not I'm not proud, but
it's the Comcast Business Service, which is
it's Comcast Business, so they're better than normal Comcast. But
hey, tell me this.
Yeah.
Do you have native IPv6?
I don't know. It's a good question. No.
We'll talk later.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
Because I know some Comcast markets get that and some don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, of course it's way faster, but Sonic.net. So I need to tell some Sonic.net stories here.
I think you should.
Okay. I may have told some of these. I can't remember. But a couple quick things. In some of the first contact I had with them, they assumed that I knew what a static IP address was. So that was great.
That was their first mistake.
Let's see. I mean, they have this when you call them for like tech support or billing support or anything. If the line to get through to them is really long, if there's a lot of people trying to call in, they will let you leave a phone number and they'll call you back when they're ready.
Dope.
It's great. I don't know why everyone doesn't do that, but they do, and they're awesome. Basically, everyone you talk to at Sonic.net is a normal person, not someone reading off of like a script of or a training manual of customer service things.
When you were first getting your service turned up, I was I was privy to half of the conversation that you were having with someone over there, and they sounded super nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, the installer was incredible. He came in, he chatted with us about Final Fantasy a bit. He replaced a wall jack. Like, just... He sees this old wall jack, and he's like, wow, this thing is terrible.
There goes your security deposit.
He's like, I'm just gonna replace this. Yeah, sure. So he put in this nice, new wall jack. Looks so much better.
Yeah, you like that.
Redid all the wiring, in the wall, at least at the jack. Then went out to the junction box, redid the wiring in there as well to try and improve the quality.
Just slip him a 20 and see if he can get you like free Cinemax.
This was the telecom.
I know.
Although the Comcast guy left like his whatever tool that he uses, so who knows?
You're just lucky he didn't like fall asleep on your couch.
Yeah,
like that one Comcast guy.
No, the Comcast guy actually was fine. He was equally nice, but certainly not as. I mean, the Sonic guy was just like he really wanted to go the extra mile in every way possible.
Really?
Yeah, and like clearly it wasn't like he just in general really enjoyed doing things right.
Did he give you like a scented oil rub down or?
No, it was just like he lotion? Explained it to us. He's like, you know, I go into all these old apartment complexes and, you know, and buildings and whatever, and I see all this old infrastructure, and I just like, you know, I can improve it. So why not? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's
I'd
like,
admire
I,
that.
He said, I basically lost track of all of the infrastructure I have replaced in the time I've been doing installations. So, Yeah, he was great.
Great.
Yeah, great. Anyway, and overall, like, and then when I called to cancel today, they were, again, like, gave me no hassle whatsoever. It was
That's
just,
nice.
Yeah, it was just like, hey, you know, I'm sorry. Like, you guys were great, but I need to cancel. And he's like, yeah, no problem, you know.
I was a customer of rsync.net for a really long time for, like, a backup service. Mm-hmm. And they were outstanding to work with all the time, and it hurt like hell when I just had to cut them loose because I was like, that sucks.
Yeah, no, I gave him this long, like, diatribe about, so I'm like, I don't know if this is actually good, if you can actually write this down anywhere or whatever, but, like, let me just tell you.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah, right, exactly. I gave him that speech. It's like, you guys have been amazing and, you know, so great and whatever, so, yeah, and it's not you, it's me. it's me not being satisfied with DSL, so.
I'm never happy.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, if you live in a place where there's Sonic.net fiber, I mean, there is no reason not to get that.
There's like a neighboring town to me where you can get really amazing fiber service from like the local telco. It's supposed to be awesome. I can't get it here in town, but then the neighboring town can.
Yeah.
One more reason that I hate the neighboring town.
I mean, even if you live in a place that has Sonic.net DSL and you don't, you know, maybe you're not so picky about having super fast internet, or maybe you live close enough to a distribution center that it's okay. You know, they're just great. They're a great ISP. So, yep, very happy. Although,
so go back to this Final Fantasy thing. You were talking to the
I could talk about this. This is kind of related in that I've been working my way through Final Fantasy IX, and I don't know
which one is which. I have like Final Fantasy 12 or whatever, but my wife won't let me play it because she hates one of the voices.
Yeah, they all get kind of muddled together, right? Because they all have characters with, like, long, highlight-strewn hair.
Well, I liked some of, like, the old, like, the really old ones where you had, like, the black mage or whatever that had, like, the really goofy dunce cap.
Yep, so this
I love those. Okay, cool.
Yeah, this is one of those. In fact, the black mage is one of the main characters.
Awesome.
His name is Vivi.
What platform are you playing this on?
I am playing this on it's on the PS3, but I'm playing the PS1 classics. You know, on the PlayStation Store, which I know is your favorite place to purchase your digital game goods.
F those guys. I've been playing the hell out of Mass Effect 3. I didn't tell you about this. I actually finished Mass Effect 3.
Really? Because I have not. So that's you're way ahead of me there.
Well, I'm really good.
Yeah, I know.
But no, I thought I can see why people are upset about the ending, but that just proves that they suck.
Okay, yeah.
Because, come on.
That's about what I figured, but I have not finished it and have somehow managed to avoid any spoilers.
I'm not gonna do that. Mm-hmm. But I can see, I mean, like, there's a lot of alternate endings, and I haven't done all of the alternate endings because I'm not that good.
Yeah, well, they released that new, or that, like, package of additional ending material, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I don't think.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. So I've been working my way through Final Fantasy IX because, you know, again with the whole employment thing, it's switched from a model of I want to play all the games to let me just find like one that I kind of want to focus on.
So can you play the PS1 Classics version on the Vita?
So you can play it on the PSP.
Okay.
Which means you should be able to play it on the Vita. It's just a matter of, like, they are gradually releasing those for the Vita, or, like, they're not all available for the Vita at this point, but,
okay.
I mean, I think the idea is that they eventually all will be. I have not checked, but ideally, like, saves should be transferable and all that good stuff. So I don't know if they will auto-transfer, though. That'd be pretty great.
So this is, like, a big, like, turn-based...
It's the typical Final Fantasy battle system. There have been various takes on what that means, but it's mostly turn based.
Okay, I recognize some
RPG.
Of the people in these pictures. I'm looking at screenshots, and I think I've seen this before, but I don't think I've played
it. Final Fantasy has at various points moved between super serious and super whimsical.
Mm-hmm.
And this is more on the whimsical side.
Huh.
This game, so which is nice. I mean, because there was a time, or the two games before this, 7 and 8, are very, and I haven't played through either of them, but from what I know, they're both very both futuristic and very sort of serious.
Yeah. I get I always like the Phantasy Star games, and they definitely have a more of a science fiction than a fantasy feel to them.
Okay,
but some of the Final Fantasy games I know are like that too. And when I'm playing 12, or is it 12? Yeah, I think it's 12. Because then there's 12, and then there's 12x2 or whatever.
So there's 13? Is that what you're talking about?
Yep. No, because that's a new MMO, right?
Well, so 12 is the MMO, I believe.
No, it's 11.
12 is as well?
Come on.
No. You're 12 is... If there's a 2, then there's 13 and 13-2.
Is it?
Yeah. Is it on the PS3?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 13.
Okay, so that's the one that I have that I kind of like, but I don't get the...
14 is the MMO. That's it.
Okay, that's the new MMO, because there was one before that people are still playing, right?
14 is the new MMO. 11 was the old MMO.
I don't get the combat in the new one. I understand, that I'm attacking stuff, but, I don't know how any of, the power-ups work, and, when I'm playing Chaos Rings, same thing. I have no idea what I'm doing. I just, face roll everything.
Well, so, in the new one, I mean, kind of the joke is, but actually the reality as well, is you just auto-battle. Right?
Yeah, and I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, I mean, so you auto-battle all the time, and then what you're really focusing on are the paradigm shifts.
That's what I don't get.
So, yeah, I mean, the paradigm shifts are think of the triad in WoW, right? You're, shifting between absorbing damage, dealing damage, healing, that sort of stuff. So it's more you're governing group roles as opposed to governing precise attack.
They really shouldn't have called it what they call it.
Paradigm shift?
Yeah, that's dumb. I think that's what's blowing it for me, because I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just confused. I'm an old man, Alan. I can't keep up with these fancy new video games.
Well, the other thing about 13...
Bring me Pong.
Is 13... yeah. 13 is structured such that you don't actually open up all of the features of the combat system until about, I think, 15 hours into the game.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever done that.
Yeah.
Like I said, my wife hates it, so I don't get to play it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the characters are insufferable.
Well, she thinks one of them sounds like I'm playing a really inappropriate pornographic film.
Yeah, that would be Vanille.
Yeah. She's it sounds like they're banging a 12-year-old in there.
Yep, that was...
That's terrible.
Yeah, I was hesitant to play that game in a dorm room.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's really too bad, because I thought, visually, it looked really cool.
Yeah, no, there's some cool, especially all of the CG, sequences in that game. There's some pretty impressive visuals.
Mm-hmm.
I find it just very, all the characters are just so, I don't know, bland and depressing.
Yeah, maybe the next one will be good, though. The 13 should be, or the 14. Which one?
15, or I don't know what they're doing.
This is where my wife would hit me upside the head and be like, for a game called Final Fantasy, there sure are a lot of them.
Yeah, there's...
How long is this Final Fantasy anyway?
I don't think it's ever... I kind of like the approach of, every time, if you interpret it as every time, they're like, okay, guys, okay... This is the Final Fantasy. we've done it this time, right?
We've got it.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm working my way through 9, and it's super fun. So,
wait, hold on a second. So 14's already been released. There's a new one in development, though.
14 has been released. 14 was released before 13-2 was released. Yeah.
Oh, but it's not. It's okay. So it's coming to PlayStation 3 next year.
PlayStation 3 next year, 14 is. Oh, yeah, but it's already released on PC. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Hmm.
That makes sense. I mean, only it doesn't make sense, but it makes...
Only 630,000 copies had sold as of November 4th, 2010.
Huh.
So they're not doing too good. Well, at least, you know, 2 years ago. Who knows what they're doing now.
Well, with Final Fantasy, it's like you've got this guaranteed base of people that are going to buy it no matter what, because they buy every Final Fantasy game. And that base is pretty large. But, I mean, these games cost so much money to make. It's at the point where...
Yeah, so I don't understand. Like, when they don't really deliver, or they have, like, super annoying characters or bad voice actors, like, how does that happen when you've got a budget like that? Because, I mean, they have, like, this... It's that brand is so strong, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think part of it is kind of a... Not literally, but a lost in translation thing of like the culture that the gaming culture that Japanese developers are developing games for is no longer the actual gaming culture, especially in the U.S.
I think there was a quote that I heard. Oh, where did I read that? There was someone asked, like, maybe it was the Blizzard developers on Ask Me Anything on Reddit. But someone was like, you know, why isn't there a World of Warcraft in Japan or something? And the guy was like, well, I mean, without resorting to like really unnecessary stereotypes, the Japanese market for gaming is dramatically different from the American and even the Taiwanese and the Chinese market. Like, there's there's a very different mindset or cultural or whatever it is. It's just some of the stuff just does not play.
Yeah. No, that is very true. And I mean, that is a really tough challenge, right? To develop a game that is going to appeal to both of those demographics.
So what do you think is going to happen with the Nintendo Wii then? Because that's going to be launching in November in the United States.
Yeah. So let's talk about this.
You had some strong opinions, and I don't understand what's going on. I know that I love the idea of the Wii U, and I love my Wii, and I want to replace it because my optical drive is too loud. I hate, like, the Wii that I have, I never play because the noise makes me want to beat my head against the wall.
Yeah. So a couple things here. So there was the big E3 press conference. But where they announced some stuff, including Nintendo Land, which was a little bit.
I don't know.
But then there was a separate press conference this morning where they provided some more concrete details about the device itself and availability. Some of these were good, like in Japan, and it's going to be released for a two price. There is a sort of entry level price, pretty nice deluxe price point.
And the deluxe one comes with like a charging cradle and some other stuff.
The deluxe doesn't look like it's worth it. It looks like it's just a.
It's only $50.
Yeah, but for a charging cradle.
Well, there's something else too. I thought that sounded pretty.
You get more memory, but you can also just stick an SD card in it, right?
Oh, is memory not store, or is it storage?
Or it is. It's storage. Yeah, not okay. RAM. Yeah, okay. No, you the same amount of RAM, which is 2 gigabytes, which is 1 gigabyte for the game, 1 gigabyte for system stuff. But the part of this that really made me skeptical about the current state of Nintendo was this TV component.
How do you spell that?
TV is, right. Capital T, capital V, lowercase I.
Okay.
So imagine like we, except instead of the W, it's a TV. Right?
And me
and we, I don't know.
Whatever. All of the E's.
Yeah. So TV, which is a questionable name to start with, is also a really questionable premise. So
people hated the name Wii, by the way. Remember that.
Oh, I know. People hate.
Maybe they still do. I don't know.
I mean, people hated the name Vita. People hated the whatever.
That's true.
Everyone hates every game's little name. So what I think this comes out of is Nintendo saw, hey, look at Microsoft, look at Sony. What are they doing that's successful? You know, where are they putting their bets, right? And successfully, and that is, well, they're turning their consoles into media centers. And so Nintendo, I think, is like, well, we need to do that too, and like they basically, the result is what seems like this half baked. I'm not entirely sure I want to call it half baked, but like this, what looks like a rushed, sort of compilation of all of the TV and media center related stuff they could think of. No, I know, I know.
The only console is really Xbox.
Hitting. True. I mean, the ES3's done really well at providing apps for you to consume content from other services, right?
Yeah, but the like, for example, their streaming stuff that plays from like a media server on your home network is not great. It doesn't understand a lot of video codecs if you just feed it raw files. There's a lot of discrepancies and there's a lot of shortcomings, and like browsing content on a media server in a PlayStation 3 is really dumb. Yeah. And if I browse my NAS on the PS3, it's a long string of files and nonsense. Like it's bad compared to like the Apple TV, for example, is what I'd compare it to. But
well, so here's my problem with the Nintendo side of this, right? Is it just feels like this thing where it's like a me too. It's like a me too.
I get jokes.
Yeah. even unintentional ones. It's like this. Hey, we're a media center device too, because that's what we're supposed to do. It just seems to me like, you know, Nintendo, focus on the games, right? Like that's what you do really well, right? You're not like a media company.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Wii was such a runaway hit for them. Like, maybe they're a little too cocky about this.
I don't think they're cocky. I think they have actually, if you look at some of the recent press coverage, at least from their American press side, like, they've been visibly affected by the poor reception that the Wii U stuff has had. So I don't think they're necessarily thinking, yeah, everybody's going to love this because we're Nintendo, you know?
Well, no, I mean, the GameCube gave them a good crack upside the head, I think.
Right, yeah. So, this thing does some things that the other media centers don't necessarily do yet. Like, it integrates with your TiVo or DVR.
And I think, you know, some of that stuff is easy to adjust and address later. Like the stuff that's all done in software, that improves in time. I mean, look at the new Dash for Xbox, and then the PlayStation stuff has come a long way since, I mean, I think it still sucks, but it's come a long way from launch. So I mean, like, some of the media center stuff they can be rolling out or making incremental improvement on as they go. I still think, do you see any reason why I shouldn't get a Wii U?
Does
it play Wii games?
Yeah, it should play Wii games, right? So okay. If all you want to do is get a better Wii, then I guess, yeah, here's your chance. Right.
Well, let me pretend that I use Wii Fit.
Yeah.
Because I have that balance board.
But I guess, you know, don't expect the kind of radical new experiences that you had, you know, I mean, I don't know if you specifically had, but that, you know, were presented by the original Wii, right? Like, this is not... Huh. I don't think, you know, this two-screen stuff.
I mean, there's some stuff about that that looks really sweet. Like, I saw, like, there was a Zelda demo where they had, like, one person operating a bow.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, like, you know, have one person, like, you know, shooting arrows at stuff while Link is running around. I thought that was really slick. And I thought that was pretty fun. Because there's, people play games, especially couples, and sometimes they like to play together, but not necessarily like competitively. So like having cooperative stuff like that, I think is really cool. And I think a really good use of that technology. People that are not doing that well, the motion control stuff. I mean, seriously, the PlayStation Move is just not there. I don't know like what it is that's holding it up, but there's not a lot of software that uses it, and the stuff that's there isn't great. Like, I even stupidly bought that special edition Resident Evil 5 just to use it with the Move stuff, and I wasn't really that impressed with it. And, like, I haven't picked up the new game yet. I don't know if it supports Move at all.
Yeah.
Like, that new Resident Evil Raccoon City, that looks pretty cool. Or is it bad? I don't even know.
Oh, no, it's supposed to be terrible.
Okay.
It's supposed to be basically an exploitation of people who like the Resident Evil franchise.
Okay, so I'll skip that one, but then there's another Resident Evil game coming out, right? Like Resident Evil 6 or whatever?
There's a Resident Evil 6 that has been announced,
And that looks pretty slick.
Yeah. That looks good. But anyway, so I think on the Wii U stuff, it feels like Nintendo's kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
and it, you know, it, and it feels like they're trying to catch up with everyone else, right? Which is, you know, exactly what they're trying to do. But it feels like they're sort of, instead of saying, "Hey, here's this thing we're going to do really well," it's kind of like, "Hey, here's like a bunch of stuff we thought might help," right?
So, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But I think, you know, many other people have pointed this out. I'm definitely not the first person to point this out. But I think, like, we are potentially entering a new era for Nintendo where they may not make hardware. They may just make games.
Oh, that didn't go so well for Sega.
Yeah. Right. Right. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's this other saying of never bet against Nintendo, right? Because Nintendo always...
On the other hand, like, Nintendo Power just had their last issue this year, right?
They did. I mean, that's less an issue of Nintendo specifically. That's more of a, you know, print magazine issue.
Yeah, sure. The industry's changed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. So, we'll see. It's, you know, it has to work, right? Like, the 3DS is doing okay, but...
So, the Wii U is going to be their Windows 8.
I guess, yeah. That's not a bad way to put it. Yep. So,
we don't have time to talk about iPhone, do we?
So here's the thing. Google Plus Hangouts does not tell me how long we've been recording.
But so. We started at 8:48.
Okay.
So I think we've hit an hour. Because I have the IM up the invite.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're at an hour.
Okay. Cool. I guess new iPhone.
What do you care?
What do I care? I'm an Android user now.
I'm ordering two tomorrow, I think.
Two? Wow.
Yeah.
One for home, one for work.
one for my baby. No, my wife still has a 3GS.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because she's been waiting because she didn't want the 4. Cause she was like, meh. And then the 4S, she was like, meh.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, this is her first big update, so I'll be joining her, and we're going to switch from AT&T to Verizon. So that'll be a big.
I saw that in the notes. That sounds awesome.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Mainly because just the AT&T service in my neighborhood is terrible. I mean, like, my customer service experience with AT&T has been universally good.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of the service is just bad here.
Hmm. Yeah.
But, you know.
All right. Well, I guess that'll probably do it for this episode of the Hell Yeah Show.
Welcome back, Alan.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome back. We've got to figure out a regular schedule for this that worked well for us, but hopefully we'll be able to get you some episodes once again on it.
And if the Hangout Live thing on the air works out well and the recording is good, then maybe we'll be doing those at a fairly predictable time, and people that want to eavesdrop can do that too.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be cool. I mean, we're not to be clear, we are not actually like. Video streaming, so you can't log in and you know, peep in on what we look like with our microphones in front of
us. It's not very entertaining because most of the time I'm wearing pants anyways.
Right, yeah. But if you want to hear the show before anyone else, then
dozens of us.
Yeah. Then maybe stay tuned to my Google Plus feed. Or I guess we should probably figure out a way to get it on the Hell Yeah
Google Plus
page.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I bet there's a way to do that, but I'm not sure.
I'm sure there is. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. That'll do it for this episode of the Hell Yeah Show. If you want to contact us, the email address is show@hellyeah.com. The web address is show.hellyeah.com. And
you can also find us on Google Plus and the Twitter machine, twitter.com/hellyeahshow. Send us a tweet @hellyeahshow.
All right, very good. We will see you sometime soonish in the future.
Peace out.